Languages through music. Languages through music. Languages through music. Languages through music.
Welcome everybody to Swahili Through Music with Languages Through Music and Voza Afropolitan Forum. Very glad to have you here, and we are super happy to have you with us today. Mwalimu Werimu, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So Werimu is an internet friend. I think we connected through Women in Language last year. That festival, I think, was the first time we got in touch after that festival. And Mwalimu, which means teacher in Swahili, Mwalimu Werimu creates educational and lifestyle content in Swahili with English translations. She's a Kenyan American who grew up in both countries on and off. In her last year in university, she attended the School for International Training in Kenya, which sharpened her Kiswahili language skills. And she was selected to present her educational research on the power of multiliteracies at the American Educational Research Association annual meeting in 2017. So where are you joining us from today, my dear? Are you in Massachusetts or in DC? Where in the world are you?
Today I'm in Massachusetts. I'm in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay. Is there a big Kenyan community there?
Yes. There is. In Worcester and throughout Massachusetts.
All right. Well, I really wanted to get in touch with you because, of course, it's Swahili Through Music. And you're teaching Swahili. You've kind of sharpened your own Swahili. And you always select some of the greatest songs. Like, all my favorite songs that I've heard, I'll see you kind of dissecting on your Instagram account. I'm like, what? I need to talk to this lady. So what is your, I'm really fascinated by the link of music and memory. So what is your earliest music memory?
I remember we used to listen to a lot of music during car rides. Mm-hmm. With like my parents like ushering us around or during road trips. And we listened to a range of music. So I remember we listened to like 90s, 80s American music, like whether it's like pop or R&B or hip hop. But then I remember specifically if we had like longer road trips, we would listen to Them Mushrooms. And Them Mushrooms, they're like a classic OG.
Why do I know that?
You have to know them. Like, I think, like, if you're familiar with like Kenya, or you probably heard their music somehow. Like,
yes.
I think even if you come to the, I don't know if they still do it, but I remember hearing at some point, like if you're coming through the airport or any like they're just kind of like that, like poster music. I think.
Yeah, I think I did a Swahili Through Music workshop years ago in London, and the teacher taught a Them Mushroom song. Is that possible?
It's totally possible. Yeah, they're like the classic OG music band.
Awesome.
I think they're definitely like the pioneers of like Kenyan music going global.
Okay, what a funny name, Them Mushrooms. So random. Okay. Cool. I'm gonna dig out that. I'm gonna look into it afterwards and see, because I know that name for some reason. Which languages do you speak, or have you studied, or do you want to learn in the future?
So I speak English, Swahili. I can hear my ethnic language, Kikuyu. Maybe I could say like a phrase here and there, but
okay.
I think speaking it is a little, we're working on it. So that I definitely want to learn more about.
Is that like the biggest language after Swahili, would you say?
Yeah. Okay. And then I studied French in school. Also wouldn't say I speak it. I know like some phrases and, you know, some grammatical rules here and there, but wouldn't say I speak it. So I think, like, especially last year, I think, yeah, because of the Women in Languages Speakeasy, we were trying to figure out what language to practice with, and I ended up choosing French. So that also kind of inspired me to continue learning French. But yeah, that's kind of the...
Okay, have you found songs that you like in French?
We're not there yet.
Okay. So you know what? To say Asante for the wonderful playlist that we're going to include, thanks to you, I'll send you my favorite tunes in French. So
great. Okay, perfect.
Some French through music for some Swahili through music.
Perfect, perfect.
What are some of your favorite songs, favorite artists? You've made this incredible playlist, but yeah, what is your kind of go-to top three bands or artists who sing in Swahili?
Oh, that's a bit, okay. So there are different genres. So I feel like even my taste is there's a range. So I think I usually go for like the artist, because usually the artist may have a couple of songs that I like. So I think starting off with Kenya, South Tea Soul, I think is that, they're just legendary. And I think they just have they're really like shaping a really nice Kenyan sound. I don't think we have like a set Kenyan sound, because there's so many different genres, but I think they would be like the closest ones to kind of capturing it in a sense at a national level more so. So I say South Tea Soul, I think they're great. And
South Tea means voice, right?
Yes, Sauti means voice, and then Soul is Spanish for sun, so the voice of the sun.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sauti Soul is great. Another Kenyan one is Blinky Bill. He's like he has this like quirky sound and vibe about him. So I think he's like cool because he doesn't really fit into a box, and I like that. I like people that like to push the needle. So there's that. Who else would I say? I'm Kenyan, so I might be a bit biased here, but you know, it is what it is. And another rapper that I like is Octopizzo.
Okay.
I also, so he does Swahili and also Sheng. Well, I think all of them, I think you can definitely say they have Sheng, but I think Octopizzo relatively does a lot more Sheng. So I think that one, I think, would be a bit trickier for me to follow, honestly. But I can still like catch like his flow, and obviously like with his other references with Swahili and other languages, I'm like, ooh, I like his the way he rhymes. So if you're into rap, I would definitely recommend Octopizzo.
Cool. So for any listeners who don't know, could you please tell us what Sheng is?
So Sheng is pretty, okay. So it pretty much is Swahili and English.
Okay.
And that's how the word Sheng came about. But it's not just simply putting English and Swahili together. It has a Swahili base, but it pulls from multiple languages, whether it's local languages, it could even be as far off as like European languages, completely foreign languages. And pretty much like Sheng speakers, so Sheng is you can call it like a cant language or like a cryptic language. So it started off as a language that was spoken so that other people wouldn't be able to hear it in Nairobi, that is.
Okay.
Yeah, especially like in the setting of like when you talk about the origins of Sheng, like when it kind of came from like if you want to say like the informal settlements or slums where space is kind of tight, and if you want to communicate something, you don't necessarily want other people to hear it. So Sheng kind of came about that way. It sounds like Swahili, but it's completely like all the words have pretty much been invented.
Hey.
And so yeah, and so it's evolved, and now it's become mainstream. And at this point, like speaking like from a Nairobi perspective specifically, where Swahili used to be the lingua franca and, you know, usually is the lingua franca throughout, you know, East Africa and, you know, the African Great Lakes region. In Nairobi, it's more so Sheng. So it could be like Swenglish in terms of like just simply putting together. I'll make those distinctions because I think that's important. So Swenglish, where you're just simply putting English and Swahili together. And then there's like proper Sheng where it's just new words. And it's highly dynamic. I mean, you know, you can have a word that's invented today and within a couple of months or the next year, it's completely out of fashion.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's also highly localized. So if you really, you know, speak Sheng, if you're really familiar with it, if someone is speaking to you in Sheng, you should be able to know like how old they are or how old their Sheng is and where they're from. Oh. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I think it's pretty impressive how it's been able to maintain its integrity throughout the years and even how it's gone from just being like in the inner city to now being mainstream. And different groups of people have been the ones creating the Sheng. Mm-hmm. But now we're seeing it's more so like the musicians who, you know, are creating, you know, the words, and some become popular, some don't. But it's really fascinating. And I think especially like as someone who is creating content in Swahili, trying to teach Swahili, sometimes, especially as a Kenyan person, you know, sometimes you have to think, you know, Swahili will always be relevant. It's just that I think I think there definitely is space. I think it's more formal to only communicate in Swahili, mm-hmm. you know, if you're in a very like official formal setting. But to have like relaxed conversation with people, even like, you know, whether it's whatever the walk of life is, we're starting to see Swenglish and Sheng kind of come up in conversations, and that kind of sets a relaxed tone for everyone. And mm-hmm. So I think even like as I try to create Swahili content, I'm also not exactly aiming to be a Swahili purist. I think just practically speaking, it kind of makes sense to incorporate Sheng as being part of, you know, of Kenyan culture.
Yeah, and people will want to be understood and sound, you know, informal and sound, you know, that they know where they are and that they have a command of the actual spoken language as well. Do you have any favorite words or sayings either in Swahili or Sheng? Any expressions or maybe things that you find yourself saying a lot?
Yeah, I think one recently was kwa ground vitu ni different, which means like on the ground things are different, which can be true. It's like setting the difference between like theory and practice. It's like someone's telling you one thing, or the idea is one thing, but what really is happening, you know, on the ground,
on road, yeah,
on road, it's a different story, man. It's a different story.
Okay. Is there something that you think people will hear a lot in songs, a specific expression or phrase? There's one I like. I think it might be Sheng that Nyashinski uses. Achaku complain or something like stop complaining.
Oh, yeah.
That's sweet. I really like the mix.
Nyashinski.
Yeah.
Achaku complain. Yeah, it's pretty much like stop complaining. I think the thing about Swahili or Sheng phrases is that they don't always last too long. Like it could be like a period of time where it's like really popular mm-hmm. and then it's used a lot and then it phases out.
Yeah.
So all phrases I think kind of have their
heyday.
They mm-hmm. have their time frame.
Amazing. So Yeah, I've been finding it really interesting kind of talking to people in Tanzania, in Kenya, about their experience learning or not learning Swahili at school. So what was that like for you, you know, either in Kenya or in the States, or what was your experience of language lessons at school? Did you ever find a teacher using music to teach, or yeah, what were your options like in terms of choosing which language you wanted to learn when you were a kid?
I wish I actually got to, you know, work through music. I think that would have been fun, but no, I didn't get to do that. I think in terms of Swahili, in when I moved to Kenya, from like, we say standard instead of grades, like standard 2 to standard 5, we were learning, I was learning Swahili. So we were learning English and Swahili from first grade.
Okay.
And you continue both languages all throughout until high school. So by the time you're clearing from high school, you have, you know, quite a bit of, you know, of schooling in both languages at least. I think they were pretty traditional in terms of how they were taught. But then when I switched to an Indian school that had a British curriculum, the Swahili was watered down a lot. I remember in the Kenyan school, Kiswahili was actually a challenge. Even as you spoke Swahili, you know, I think it's the difference of, you know, yeah, you can speak the language, but in terms of, you know, knowing, you know, all the grammatical rules and the vocabulary and, you know, being official and formal with the Swahili, you know, that definitely stretched me quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But at the Indian school, at the school that had the British curriculum, I didn't have that. And actually, I think a better way of saying it is at the Kenyan school, we were being taught Kiswahili as if we were native Kiswahili speakers.
Sure.
So the teachers already had an expectation that you're at this level and you have to, you know, meet it or catch up, especially in my case where I didn't learn Kiswahili until I moved, but there was still that expectation that you have to catch up. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the, when you're taking like the British curriculum schools, if you're an international school, because the curriculum is based on international standards, my assumption is, or my theory is, that Swahili doesn't come with that. And so it wasn't regarded as being that valuable.
Okay.
Because it's more of a localized language, whereas maybe something like French, you know, would be, because maybe it's spoken a lot more throughout the world. And so when we're being taught Swahili, as much as, you know, we are living in Kenya, you would think that we would be taught as if we're native speakers, or we at least should catch up to that. But we're being taught as if, you know, it's a foreign language almost that we don't necessarily need to learn. And even the investment was different. So with the textbooks, you know, we had French textbooks being imported from Europe. But for Swahili, I never saw textbooks at the Indian school. The teachers were essentially making their workbooks. So you see that very clear, like, distinction in languages. And there's a hierarchy.
Difference.
Exactly. Exactly. Whereas at the Kenyan school, of course, like, we would have textbooks and resources just like any other subject. So that's the difference, right? And I think even socially, you know, at the Kenyan school, me and my friends, like, if you're like during break time, you can speak to your peers and switch languages all the time. No one blinks an eye at all, unless you're talking to a teacher who's, you know, in that language. Like, unless I'm speaking to an English teacher during English time or a Swahili teacher during Swahili time, usually the teachers are also open to speaking either or language. There is, like, obviously a preferential treatment for English because that's the official language, but, you know, we wouldn't be reprimanded if you were to approach a teacher and speak Swahili.
Okay.
But in the Indian / British curriculum school, it was very different. I remember, you know, trying to talk to some friends in Swahili, and then I'd get like quite a bit of backlash for that. But like, why are you speaking Swahili? You need to speak a language that everyone understands. And
oh,
I would say, but we're in Kenya.
Yeah, in you Kenya. Should all be speaking Swahili.
Right. What's going on? What's the disconnect? You should be asking me to help you if you don't know Swahili, because that's we are in Kenya. We weren't all born in Kenya, but you know, our lives are in Kenya. And so, you know, there should be like at least an openness to learning.
Absolutely.
That just wasn't there.
Yeah, I think that's really staggering, you know, when we think about even today, there are some African countries that don't have a single African language as an official language, you know, so mm-hmm. it'll be the European languages that are, you know, emphasized and given this status, which is wild. I mean, yeah.
Right.
So long. So, in terms of, you know, multilingualism, mixing languages, code switching, I'd really like to hear a bit more about your experience with that, because, you know, there's Swahili, but there's, of course, Kikuyu, and then there's, I don't know how many more Kenyan languages, but I imagine several, right? There's Luo, is there Meru?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there must be plenty other languages. So what is your experience of that mix? English, the European languages, Swahili, the other Kenyan languages. How did you experience that when you were in Kenya?
Okay. So it does help, I guess, to preface it a little bit by saying like a little background geographic concept here. So Nairobi, being the capital city of Kenya, was formed as like a colonial administration that the British set up. So and then outside of that, different ethnic groups settled in different areas. So outside of Nairobi, you can pretty much go like anywhere, and then, you know, it's a particular ethnic group that's dominant in that particular area. In Nairobi, I think by virtue of, you know, with Kikuyu people being the largest group, and then also being, you know, pretty their Kikuyu land being kind of close to Nairobi, there can be quite a bit of Kikuyu, but ultimately Nairobi is kind of like a no man's land. So usually it's Swahili and English that are spoken a lot more. Those would be like the first or primary languages. And also Shang. And then outside of that, the primary language, so outside of Nairobi, the primary language would be the language of whatever ethnic group is dominant in that area. Mm-hmm. So if I was outside of Nairobi and I don't know, well, even with Kikuyu, I'm not fluent in Kikuyu. So I would go for Swahili first, no matter who I'm talking to. And then maybe English to supplement maybe anything I don't know in Swahili. Mm-hmm. But in Nairobi, it also depends on who you're talking to. So I think I feel like I've had to code switch a lot. Okay. In terms of because like if you're in a more of like an official setting, or if you're trying to navigate in a bit of a formal white collar capacity, you'd opt for English. But if you're, you know, trying to speak to, you know, I guess you could say like your, you know, common person, your common wananchi, like for example, if I'm at the market or I'm trying to buy some goods somewhere, I would opt for Sheng, because Sheng is more popular now than just speaking purely Swahili. So that's how I would opt. So those are the decisions I would make, unless maybe if I don't know the particular Sheng words in a particular context, then I'll maybe just do Swahili.
So how established is Sheng? Like, would people be able to sign up for a purely Sheng language class?
No. As I don't like think a, so.
Okay. So it's something that you would really kind of learn by living somewhere or hearing it in music or films, or there aren't kind of workshops just on Sheng, or are there?
Right. It's colloquial. So mm-hmm. yeah, you kind of have to pick it up, whether it's through media or just by living there and connecting with people. I do know that there's this organization called Go Sheng. So they're people trying to archive and document Sheng and create these digital libraries where you can find dictionary. Yeah, you can find some words, kind of like a online dictionary, if you will. So those efforts are there, but I think that's also part of how, I guess, Sheng would also maintain its integrity, because if Sheng could be mastered mm-hmm. to a point where you could have classes and someone could be certified in Sheng, then I think it takes away from its integrity.
The charm.
Exactly. And then you could be in class today, but then next year maybe half of that is completely irrelevant. So is it really worth it to mm-hmm. have classes in Sheng? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the zeitgeist. You need to be in it to win it.
Exactly.
Amazing. Well, I think the work you do is so interesting, and I really enjoy, following what you do and seeing the songs that you're breaking down for people. And really excited to have you as part of this project and as part of this discussion. So maybe in closing, and partly for my own selfish beginner Swahili learner reasons, what advice would you give to people who are just starting out on their Swahili journey?
I think there's definitely Swahili resources out there, like if you're genuinely interested in learning the language and the grammar, to seek them out, but also supplement them with media. So I think music in particular is a really great medium to just to get abreast of the Swahili and Sheng that's being spoken. Because, especially as I mentioned before, artists are kind of the ones that are inventing the Sheng right now. Mm-hmm. And so if you're trying to, not be limited to a textbook Swahili, but to at least be familiar with Swahili that's actually, what the Swahili being spoken on the ground.
Yeah, the living.
Kwa ground
Swahili.
Yes, like the ground Swahili. Yeah. You can definitely, I think music is a great way to do that. So I think my playlist and just following those artists, because obviously it's a limited listing. Mm-hmm. But following those artists and artists that they collaborate with, I think is a really neat way. And I think, I'm doing some bits in terms of translating some of the songs, and I think other people are doing the same as well. So seeking out the translations of those songs, I think, is also beneficial. And I think with music, you're a lot more invested in it, mm-hmm. just from the musicality of it. It just resonates a lot more emotionally. So I think that would be a really nice way to learn languages.
Amazing. Yeah, I always think of that Bob Marley line, the one good thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain. And I really feel it takes the pain out of language learning so much.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're kind of too busy enjoying the song to realize that, A, you're learning. B, you're not stressing about the learning. C, it's just, it's a powerful, powerful at least addition to any language learning journey. But I'm excited. I only started lessons in January, and mm-hmm. I'm challenging myself to look at one song every day in March and kind of document that progress with my Swahili journey. So asante sana.
Asante.
So happy to have you here. And we will be talking very soon, hopefully in more Swahili than English. But give me a little time.
Yes, we'll work on that. But thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You too. So good to connect. Take care and speak very soon. And thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Languages to music.